Hello and hi, welcome back to another Slice of Sci-Fi. We are continuing our coverage of Amazon Studios' Welcome to the Blumhouse features. This week we will talk about Madres and the Manor, including interviews with cast and writers and directors from both films. Today and tomorrow we will have the interview sessions with the folks from Madres, and tomorrow will be folks from the Manor. So right now, sit back and enjoy interviews with Madres co-writers Marcela Ochoa and Mario Michioni, as well as actors Ariana Guerra, who plays Diana, and Evelyn Gonzalez, who plays Marisol. So sit back and enjoy. Hello, I am here now with Marcela Ochoa and Mario Michion, the writers of one of the new Blumhouse features from Amazon, Madres.
Hello. Yes, hi, nice to meet you.
You too. This story was both disturbing and intriguing, and I was not prepared for the follow-up after the beginning said, this is based on actual events. I'm like, oh, we went there, didn't we?
Right, yes.
There are so many questions. First of all, congratulations on the misdirect down the path of supernatural. I did not see the twist at the end coming. Bravo, bravo. Oh,
great. Thank you. Yes. We did our job right.
Yeah.
Yes, supremely. I was sitting there going, where is this going? Where is this going? Oh, I did not see that left turn. Bravo.
Yay. Good.
So what inspired writing this story now?
So I'm Mexican American and I love horror, and growing up I never saw myself or my community, you know, represented in any horror film. Even to this day, it's just so rare. And so that's something I always wanted to write, was something about my community. I was trying to find the right story to do that. And my grandparents were migrant farm workers, and so are my aunts and uncles. So that's just, you know, it's a community that's really important to me. And I had been doing some research with books and some documentaries about what was happening with migrant farm workers. And I came across what was going on in California in the 70s here, you know, that twist. And I thought, well, this is a horror story. This, you know, what was happening to this community, this is horror. And this is the story that I want to write and that I want to tell. And I want to educate people that don't know what happened, but also do it through a horror lens. And so Mario and I are great friends, and we had written another horror film together, and we wanted to do another project. So I told him, like, well, this is, you know, my research. This is what I've kind of discovered, and this is a horror. What do you feel about it? And, you know, making it into a horror film, and let's do another film together. And so I brought him on board. But that was my inspiration for, you know, this kind of story.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I had previously done a feature that was more of a thriller, but it was very much sort of about social issues. And I think genre is such a great way to explore those issues while still, you know, allowing for an experience where the audience doesn't sort of feel lectured to, you know, and it's a way of kind of dealing with these things in a way that's, you know, palatable and interesting to a larger audience. And I think like genre films are such a good tool for that. And so I, you know, when Marcela was talking about how, you know, where this film would be set and sort of the backdrop and the history of it, you know, I was really excited because it's not a setting or a scenario that we really ever see in horror films. And so I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because in a way it's very much like a body horror with gaslighting, and the levels of the predatory nature of the gaslighting is what got me, and it kept me thinking about the story, the fact that this story has happened so many times. I don't want to give it away, but, you know, Mexican women, Native American women, Black women, it has happened over and over again since the 40s. And at some point you want to sit back and go, okay, a 60-year horror story, cool. What do we do to fix this? And at this point, I'm saying, you know, 10 more horror stories set in this sort of environment might do the trick. I don't know.
Well, it's very, you know, we wrote it kind of a couple years ago, you know, and at a time, like, these things were all sort of happening and these issues were all there. And just the awareness was so low on some of this stuff. You know, that was so kind of shocking to me when Marcella came to me with this, was that, you know, what's going on here feels very foreign and it feels very far away, like both in time and place. And so to learn that this stuff was happening, you know, in America at a time when we thought, you know, sort of was the height of sort of independent thinking and all of that, you know, was really kind of stunning and a lot of people didn't know it. And so we felt it was super sort of instrumental just to getting the word out there by making it, you know, by making it the focus of a film that you could kind of raise awareness. And, you know, as the film was being made, it was coming out that this was still happening and it was being reported on. And, you know, and there's a bit of that at the end of the film where they mm-hmm. discuss the real, you know, the today current event implications of what was happening then. And so it kept being more and more relevant as we went along development.
Yes, exactly what Mario was saying. When we wrote this and we were looking at the research, we're like, oh, this was the 70s. We're like, God, you know, it's not that long ago, but, you know, this is important to still talk about it. And then, like what Mario said, when we were in production is when the stories came out. And we were like, oh, my goodness, we thought the 70s was recent. And, you know, what's happening to the Latinx community to this day is even more recent. It was hard for me to hear that. I was, you know, it was really, really difficult. But I thought, you know, this story is so important to talk about. Look what's happening to this day to my community. And it was sad for me that it's still so relevant, but shows the importance of stories like this that we need to talk about and that need to be told.
Yeah, the fact that it keeps happening again, and people who were traumatized, victimized by these intentional attacks still have no justice. And that offends me to a level which I hadn't previously realized before. I'm like, what are we if we can never get justice for these people who have been so horrifically wronged? And I'm like, yeah, right. That's a horror movie. Right. That's a horror movie too.
Yes, right, exactly. Like we wanted to explore this, you know, institutional racism and abuse, like we were saying, by those in power against these communities. And there has been no justice. And that is the horror of this story. We built it, you know, with a ghost story, of course, and supernatural, but that is the actual true horror.
So are you two working on something else together or even separately?
Yeah, we have separate stuff. Like Mario and I is one of my best friends. So we'll always, I'm sure, do projects and things together. But both of us are also writer directors. So we're trying to focus more on our own projects. And I have a TV show I created for Amazon. So I'm writing the pilot right now. And that one's called Hummingbird. And then I have a supernatural thriller I'm writing for Paramount Players and one for Universal as well.
For me, I'm just trying to get through the pandemic and finish a bunch of scripts and kind of have a bunch of stuff. And so that's been my focus. Nothing set up, but yeah, I'm gonna, you know, it's been weird trying to be creative during this time and trying to you know, make things, you know, in light of everything that's happening in the world. But yeah, my hope is to kind of come out armed with a lot of stuff and kind of see where it takes me. And, you know, with Madres coming out, it's sort of an interesting time to kind of see what comes next.
Awesome. Well, again, the movie is Madres, is part of the Welcome to the Blumhouse series on Amazon. This film will debut on October 8th, if I have my dates right here.
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Marcella, Mario, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I am here now with Ariana Guerra from Madres, one of the new films from the Welcome to the Blumhouse series. Madres will be available on Amazon Prime on October 8th. And Ariana plays our intrepid heroine, our journalist, our fighter, Diana. Hi, Ariana.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, this was a horror movie with a twist I did not see coming, and therefore I cannot spoil it for anyone. But how did you come across this script and this role?
You know, the way that you usually do. My reps just sent me an audition, and I submitted. I know when I first read the script, though, it was, you know, one of the projects that I was just like very adamant about being a part of, because I felt like the story was in so many ways very nuanced. And I like emailed my reps just kind of telling them, this is like the Mexican Get Out. I need to be part of this. And the character of Diana, I felt like I resonated a lot with. And I loved just the themes that were discussed, the issues that were addressed, and then, you know, the fact that we were able to talk about such a heavy topic because it was layered in this genre of horror.
Yeah, the twist, it was one like, okay, I did not see that one coming down the pike. Well done, well played. But the breadcrumbs, the dropping of the hints from needing to protect the mothers, and the creepy little talismans, those got to me. I'm like, ah, that's nasty. I don't want to find that in my tree. How were you playing Diana's slow discovery of just how strange and creepy things were around her new home?
To be honest, I didn't have to do any of the heavy lifting, because once I was on set, the set design was really creepy. I also had just kind of like the space to really get into this like realm of, you know, depending on the scene, of just like horror, whether it was that I had to be looking at this jewelry box and pretend like someone was behind me, or if I had those like dead eyes, whatever the set design did. I mean, it just made my job that much easier, to be honest. And I didn't really have to imagine being in this like terrifying space. It already was there. So I was able to just kind of like play in it.
Did you have to do any mental preparation for some of the more chilling scenes?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think like you have to prepare for those really intense scenes, and you want to as authentically, you know, illustrate that these things are happening. It's not just some like crew guy that's like grabbing the door with like a string that you can't see. So that I think is maybe like a mental circus that you kind of have to play around with. But the most work that I feel like I had to do came from like the preparation of the character Diana, especially because I'm not a mom, I've never been pregnant, and I wanted to make sure that I illustrated like the most accurate version of what it is like to be a first-time mom for Diana. And how that is like a driving force for all the decisions that you make, whether it's a chilling scene or not.
And you see her drive to do everything possible to be a good mom by how she investigates what's going on. She wants to get to the bottom of it because ultimately she wants her baby to come into this world safe. And that curiosity puts her at odds against a few people, but that determination, you know, that's I guess pre mama bear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely like had interviews with family members and friends, and I pulled from women that I knew who to me were some of like the strongest, bravest, most courageous people who would be willing to do anything for their kids. And then, you know, just like the concept of pregnancy is such a demanding, both physically and mentally, endeavor to like take on, that I wanted to make sure psychologically I understood where she existed in that headspace. And, you know, all the inspiration that I had came from very strong women. So there was no other way to play Diana than someone who was willing to sacrifice everything for her child.
So are you a fan of the horror genre or the suspense thriller genres?
I mean, now I am. but to be honest, like when I was a kid, I was so scared of like everything, and like watching a horror film to me was, I mean, a nightmare. I don't even think I would be able to get through some trailers because they were so scary. And this is very recent. Like, this is not like, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, like when I was in my early 20s, I could not watch these films. And I think now that I've worked on set and these projects, for whatever reason are what I'm like being casted for, the curtain has been pulled. I've like seen what's behind and the tricks and kind of the reality that everyone's just trying to make a really good movie. Some people are just trying to get their bills paid. And like now when I watch a film, I'm like, okay, it's all fake. It's not real. It's fine. But there are like, I mean, I at this point now, I like love watching any horror films that, that scare me, that have this like layer of suspense and horror that really are grounded in this reality. And the scariest part about it is that it's very plausible. It's super realistic, or in this case, inspired by true events.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is, since now you've seen how the stew is made, you want to go make more.
I want to taste the best stew. Yeah.
So if another horror movie came across your plate, what would you ideally want to be, the hero or the villain?
Yeah, I feel like I definitely have always been on like the right side, the good side, the seemingly protagonistic side. So it would be really interesting to see what it's like to play a villain or a likable villain, someone who's way more. I mean, I would love to add like dimensions where you actually are rooting for the bad guy, but I don't think I've played something like that. So that would be really, really cool to entertain and have the opportunity to you know, exercise that muscle and see how much fun that could be.
Have you ever considered writing?
Yeah. I mean, I think as actors, you gotta write 100%. I mean, you gotta do something if you want to keep working beyond the age of like 37. So, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think beyond that, though, like I absolutely want to have just more creative control and power on like projects that I work on and things that I'm a part of, stories that I tell. And the best way to do that is to make content that you're very passionate about, that you're willing to write or direct, produce. So all of these things are absolutely things that I've considered, that I've like started working on with like some of my friends who are all Latinas, that are like filmmakers, up and coming. And it's super exciting to see that there is this need and demand and opportunity for a more diverse group of writers and filmmakers.
Well, there you go. You need to write yourself a movie with yourself.
Where I'm the
villain. where you're the charismatic, many shades of gray bad guy.
I love it.
Well, Ariana, thank you so much for your time today. The movie is Madres, one of the new Welcome to the Blumhouse films, available on Amazon on October 8th. Thank you.
Thanks, Summer.
Hi, welcome back to more Slices of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is Evelyn Gonzalez, one of the actresses from the new Blumhouse, Welcome to the Blumhouse feature, Madres, where new Scream Queen material. Lots of screaming, lots of blood. And you play Marisol, who is sort of a catalyst for some of the things that Diana discovers. What were you looking forward to for this role?
I can't really say that I was looking forward to it. To be honest, I couldn't sleep at all, until I actually filmed. I was terrified, like literally terrified. Just because I knew that as an actress, I had to actually go through what Marisol went through, and it was just. And it was terrifying to say the least.
Were there any specific guides or instructions for how to play Marisol, both outside and inside of the clinic?
Not really. No, not really. To me, I just did my research as an actress as far as I watched a ton of documentaries on immigrants, and just to kind of get that experience and understanding of what it's like to live here in the United States as an immigrant, and not necessarily having the ability to voice any of your opinions because you're in constant fear of deportation. And I also watched a ton of documentaries on farm workers just to get a sense of what life is like as a farm worker. And then I also watched a ton of labor videos because I really wanted, I don't have any kids myself, so I wanted to really get the full, idea of what being in labor is like and not just like play the idea of that.
Well, the screams of pain sounded realistic and accurate to me, so bravo on that.
Yay. Because what's crazy is I watched a Hollywood Reporter, and one of the actors said that it's crazy to, because as an actor, sometimes your brain can differentiate when you're acting, but your body can't. And there were in those moments, I felt like my body was actually really going through that, but like my brain understood that that I wasn't, but I was like having hot flashes. I remember it was like hard for me to stand. I was like having chills. It was like I couldn't see well. It was a lot.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So what was this the first horror that you had been in, or horror adjacent that you had been in?
It was.
And are you a fan of horror movies? Do you watch horror movies normally? And or if not, what did you take into the role to prepare yourself to make other people horrified?
I do like horror movies. Mostly my parents, I love horror movies way more than me. So they were really excited when I got it because they're fans of Blumhouse. But me, as an actress, I always said that I would be scared just because I am like a scaredy cat. So I didn't want to like ever play anything that was like devil like connected or luckily I didn't have to do that with Marisol. She was a very real character and she experienced real tragedy, so that was a relief for sure to be a part of a horror film, but not having to go into that end of it was, yeah, definitely a big relief.
Well, I don't want to go into spoilers for this, and there's way too much territory to talk about that dances around what could be spoilers. So for you said you're a fan of horror. What kind of horror would you want to do in the future? Would you want to be like a monster hunter or the leader of an evil cult or something?
I would say like a monster. I would be like a monster hunter. But I feel like to me, like what I love, and if I could be in another horror, would be one just like Madres, is because I love that to me, Madres is like what to the Hispanic community, what Get Out was to the African American community. It like depicts
social injustices and social issues, and it puts it in a horror form, but it also touches on real life, you know, issues. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's the level of horror, the misdirect from the supernatural, yeah. I thought was crazy well done. And the social implications, the search for justice because of that is what makes the horror more real. And I love that about this film.
Yeah, it's, you know, I feel like when people think of horror, they think of monsters, you know, attacking, killing, but the real horror comes from what humans do to humans. Yeah. It's much more terrifying than what any monster could ever possibly do.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of monster movies, but it every time I think, wow, that's a new low for what people will do to each other, I get surprised, and not in a good way.
Right. Yeah, same. Because when I got the script, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know that this was a real thing. It completely enlightened me to a whole new horror of reality that I just in my head couldn't accept or like really comprehend that this actually happens and is still happening. Because it just seems like such a third world, like, concept.
Not even like third world. This is like some seriously like war crime level atrocities.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. And just like most war crimes, no justice. And that to me is the bigger horror than what was actually happening. The fact that no one is
held accountable.
No one is going to get justice because too many people think it's just not important enough. I'm like, okay, that's terrifyingly horrific. Thank you to know. Let me know that people living in my community behave like this and think it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I definitely loved about this, is I feel like nobody necessarily, and you know, we've obviously kind of touched on it with the police brutality, but I feel like that we don't necessarily talk about how people in positions of power are flawed as well, and they take their moral, you know, views in life, and they put it in their positions of power, and they make decisions that aren't also correct at all times, but they're not held accountable either.
Yep, that's two or three more different horror movies waiting to be made.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, Blumhouse did a terrific job at bringing social awareness to these horrible topics, but in a way that's entertaining and that leaves you walking out just shocked at just the realities that happened and took place.
So what is next on your plate?
You know, I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but I will say, I think that I say this for the first time confidently. You know, as an actor, you're always constantly asked to think, you know, what's next. And I didn't know Madres was next for me. It was completely just random when I got this opportunity. So I feel confident that the next one will also be just as amazing as Madres, and it would be a great opportunity. But at the moment, I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Cool. Well, the movie is Madres, new from Welcome to the Blumhouse on Amazon. Evelyn, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Summer.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense.
From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
For me, the thing about Madres that is the most disturbing is that it really is based on actual news stories from California in the 1970s, and it's something that was happening before and continued to happen after, and still to this day continues to happen, exploiting and taking advantage of a segment of the population that most people either don't want to think about or go out of their way to exploit, to abuse. And I guess that's the one thing that makes horror so horrifying, is every now and then you come across a story that is so unbelievable that myths build up around them so people can better grasp what's happening. It's easier to think that a monster, black magic, a curse, some supernatural entity is doing this rather than people in positions of power, people who had supposedly sworn an oath to do no harm, to help protect life, that these people are doing this. So, yeah. And there's a similar theme going on in the other movie that comes out from Blumhouse on the 8th, The Manor. Whole different level of exploitation, but still, nonetheless, taking advantage of a vulnerable segment of the population. And again, Madres should be available now. It came out October 8th on Amazon. Are you enjoying the current slate of Amazon Blumhouse films? If so, let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com, or come on by the website, sliceofscifi.com, and leave a comment in this episode. Or, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. Start a conversation. Either place will do. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. And you can also leave a review or a rating over at Podchaser. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently supporting Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the different podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your donations really do help keep things online around here. And for that, I am grateful for your support and your patronage. And if you'd like to add your support, one of the places to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, where you can pick a tier, any tier, become a supporter, a patron, and also become eligible for perks, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, and books. I get a lot of review materials around here, and I cannot keep them all because I just don't have the space. So, supporters and listeners, you guys get first dibs at the good stuff. Every month I pick an email address out of the hat, and that person gets to choose one of those goodies. It may take an extra week or two to get it out actually into the mail to you, but if you are selected to win something, you will get it. And if a monthly pledge is not something that is tailored to your lifestyle, we have two options. PayPal.me/sci-fi summer is where you can go to donate every now and then, and we have a new Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi. You can go in there and leave a donation every now and then. I'm still trying to figure out the membership things over there, because if you'd rather be a coffee membership than a Patreon membership, there will be perks connected with that as well. But anyway, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slices Sci-Fi next week. Take care.